Welcome to the Inner Trends Podcast. Welcome to the future of mobility. Simply Sane Track.
Welcome to a new episode of the Inner Trends Podcast and Happy New Year to everyone. My name is Britta Walters. 2022 is going to be an exciting year because, of course, Inner Trends will take place from September 20th to 23rd. But apart from that, it is going to be an interesting and also challenging year for the railway industry. Later on in the show, we'll go more into the details with our today's guest, Pedro Fortea, General Manager from the Spanish Railway Association, MAFEX. But before we do that, I'm very pleased to welcome Inner Trends Director Kerstin Schulz on the show. Kerstin, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Britta. How are you?
Good, good. Well, it's Inner Trends year. 9 more months to go until we bring the railway industry together. Speaking of bringing people together, the International Press Circle is a very special and unique format to bring international railway associations and journalists together. Kerstin, can you explain to us what is the objective of the International Press Circle?
Yes, of course. The International Press Circle is an exclusive event for the international media representatives and for the international railway associations. It's a compact format of maximum 3 hours and offers the media the possibility to talk directly to the international industry associations, like a face-to-face networking brunch.
So you mentioned it already a little bit. What exactly will happen at the International Press Circle? It's more than a simple press conference, right?
Right. It starts with a short welcome of Messe Berlin as the organizer of Inner Trends and a short welcome of the partner associations of Inner Trends. And afterwards, the media representatives, the journalists, have the opportunity to talk directly to the board of the International Railway Industry Associations to hear what's new, what are the highlights on the show, and to show the power of the transport technology branch of their country. And in 2018, there were 16 associations at the International Press Circle.
So the premiere of the International Press Circle was in 2018. How was the feedback back then?
The feedback was good all over from all sides, especially the personal contact and the internationality was great. And the journalists appreciated the news about new products or highlight premieres on the track area beforehand. And on top of the International Press Circle is the goodie of the International Press Tour. So the journalists get to see the highlights before everyone else.
So an event we are really looking forward to. When will the International Press Circle take place?
It takes place on Monday, the day before InnoTrend starts. That means on Tuesday morning, the news will be released already. And at the last International Press Circle, we had a guest like the Spanish Railway Association. They took part, MAFEX. And this is our next guest, right?
Right, exactly. Thank you, Kerstin, so much.
Britta,
have a great
wait. I can say Happy New Year in Spanish. That means Feliz Año Nuevo.
Well, Feliz Año Nuevo to everyone.
Yes.
Thank you, Kerstin.
Thank you.
I'm very pleased to welcome my guest for today, Pedro Fortea, General Manager from the Spanish Railway Association, MAFEX. Mr. Fortea, welcome. Bienvenido.
Hi, thank you for inviting me to this podcast.
Mr. Fortea, in this podcast, we talk about the future of mobility. But before we look into the future, let's take a look back. I think that's always helpful to see where we are coming from. I remember, for instance, when I was a kid, my dad took me on a steam locomotive ride in Bavaria from Nuremberg to Fürth, where the first German railway ran in the 19th century. Do you remember your first train ride?
Yes, I remember more or less. You know, it was the 80s. I was a kid and I played in a football team with my colleagues from school. And I remember when we were used to go to the football stadium in Bilbao, the main city in the region I live. And it was, you know, it was fun. It was, the trains were crowded and they were not on time. The doors could even open during the trip. And you could even get, you know, burned from some odors, cigarettes or other people. So, and people also jumped from the trains before they stopped sometimes. So it was kind of an adventure. So this is my first memories from train, of course. Then later on in my life, I have been, you know, taking a lot of train, having going to university for 6 years by train, going to work for a long time by train. So, but the first memory is that from the football, you know, stadium, the trips to the football matches. Yes. Nice. An adventure. Quite fun.
Quite an adventure. Sounds like it. Yes, right.
Yes.
Well, since then, things definitely have improved, I'd say. Mobility is changing very much for various reasons. What trends do you see worldwide affecting mobility?
Well, things have definitely improved a lot. From the example I gave you from my first memories, not only in our country, in Spain, but in many other places, of course. And now, you know, you enjoy taking the train and feel safe, secure, knowing that you will be on time. And for example, you can get sometimes for reading, for thinking of, for whatever you want. So things have definitely improved. So if it comes to discuss about the how mobility is changing and the trends worldwide, I would emphasize three of them. First, the growth of population worldwide. This is clear. So we have right now 7,300 million people in our planet. According to United Nations studies, we will be about 35% more by the year 2050. So this is a lot. Then second trend, in my opinion, would be the more and more people living in megacities. So by 2050, also 70% of the total population worldwide will be living in large cities. In cities, 80% already in Latin America is happening right now. So it's one of the key challenges for that is to address mobility solutions in large cities and the impact of mobility in those cities. Imagine, for example, I don't know, a city like Madrid with 5 million inhabitants, what they would do without, you know, train, commuters, metro, mass transit, mass public transportation in general. But imagine cities like, I don't know, Shanghai with 26 million people, Delhi, 18 million people, they would be totally collapsed. So I think, you know, we in one way or another, we must offer fully connected transport solutions to the citizens in general, to the world, to the population. And so both population growth and the concentration in large cities represent the main challenges for the future of mobility. But at the same time, it is a great opportunity for railway. So, and the third trend that I find is, of course, the climate change and greater environmental awareness. So we need to take an action against climate change, and this is not an option. This is, you know, an obligation for all of us. And so I think if we take sustainability as a competitiveness driver for our sector, we are in a good position to lead the change.
So the world is changing quite fast at the moment, we notice. According to you, what are the main challenges the railway industry is facing right now?
Well, first, I classify these challenges in three categories, let's say. So the first one would be, for example, the market one. We are moving into lower prices, you know, we are low-cost solutions. So there's a big pressure in the industry on this issue. The consolidation of the sector also mergers, acquisitions, and also on more and more advanced business models based on services. So this would be, you know, some challenges according to the market. And when it comes to talk about technological challenges, you know, standardizations to reduce production costs, automatization, sustainability in terms of introducing, for example, new energy solutions such as hydrogen, and digitalization to keep up to date and offer more advanced and sophisticated products and services. And so we need to offer to the passengers also better and more connected travel experience. So technologies is there as a main key challenge to work. And then the third would be, you know, regulatory challenges. We all need to be ready to compete in markets that are in process of liberalization, for example. But at the same time, we find some other countries very, very protectionist. So companies need to deal with these, you know, regulatory challenges with different strategies. But if I had to summarize, you know, the main challenge, probably I would underline technology, you know, green technology. And when it comes to talk about European industry, I would say that we have to continue with this technological process, of course, very important, but we must lead on sustainability. We must be leaders on sustainability, the same as we have been leaders in technology for many, many, many years. But other regions and other industries are improving and very, very fast. So, and then as a trend, I would say that we need to make rail mobility enjoyable. So, you know, passenger experience are not just words. And then when it comes to freight, we need to move freight in a more efficient way to compete with the rest of modes. So ship freight from roads to trains is essential.
I see. Well, railway is the backbone of mobility. We all know that it plays a crucial role in fighting climate change. But right now we see a development which kind of goes into the other direction. Due to the COVID pandemic, passenger numbers have declined and they're still not back to normal. And this affects the railway industry heavily. According to you, what does it need to cope with the pandemic and railway?
Well, you're right. We live right now in a paradoxical situation. So on one side, we all are sure that, you know, the future of mobility needs public mass transportation, and we all agree that rail transport should be the backbone of this mobility of the future, complemented, of course, with other modes of transport. But on the other side, the public transport demand has dramatically decreased with the pandemic. And now, almost 2 years after the global lockdown, we are not able to return to the demand figures we had in 2019. So in my opinion, it is essential that public administrations, basically at all levels, collaborate to bring back people on board. So without demand, there is nothing. So this is the most important challenge we must face today in the short term as a sector. Then other challenges are such as, I don't know, the use of recovery funds or other future challenges, of course, will be crucial too. But we need to bring people back to the public transport and, of course, on the trains.
So it's about demand and also trust, I assume, right? What does the railway industry need to be competitive today, but also if we take a look into the future?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I told you first, you know, the demand. We need to bring back people on the trains. But apart from this, I would focus on the long term. And from the industry perspective, I would say that first we need a strong demanding domestic market. And this must be planned in a long-term strategy. So we cannot, you know, as industry size, the companies and their strategies according to political cycles. We need a stability. So no demand, no market, no market, no industry. So simple. The second, we need more support to innovation. More and more support. Always innovation must be supported more. Support to research, to test, to implement pilots or agility to implement solutions. We need fast and agile innovation. So this support innovation can only be also done with a strong plan and demanding domestic market. And also it's very important to be able to boost our own technology and standards. So when it comes to talk about this, always comes the example of the ERTMS as a European standard, you know, that should be taken into account. So this is something that we really need to be implemented in other, you know, aspects. And third, we need to be able to do business in other places in a similar way as other do them in Europe. So level playing field is necessary when doing business abroad. We need more and more accessible markets. So nowadays, almost 32% of the total market volume worldwide is not accessible for European industry. I include the Spanish industry, of course. So don't you think it's not too much? So we need to be, to have more opportunities abroad.
I see, right. Another issue I would like to talk to you about is talents. We see finding skilled people is an issue in many industry sectors. What do you think? How can the railway industry become more attractive to young talents?
That's a good question. A huge challenge for the sector and for the industry. So we need to make the rail sector and the rail industry attractive for young talents. And probably we need to start by explaining to the people how positive is the impact of railway in the society, the social value of rail. So once we get a position on that, we will be able to get more attractive, to get a position of, showing the sector as more attractive for young talent. Let me tell you something, for example. When you started to look for a job, we all have different motivations. Of course, you want to earn more money. You want to do something you like. There's a little bit of ego too. You know, we all like to be told that we are doing things correctly. But there's a fourth motivation that I found very important, which is crucial. And many times we don't think it in advance, which is what are we doing? What are we going to do for our community, for our society? What are we doing for the future? And you know, something that I find great about working in this sector is that it can offer responses to personal aspirations, but also to global challenges. Climate change, making life easier for too many people. We are talking about technology, saving time and enjoyable experience to people, security, mobility. So we all need to find a purpose in what we do. And I think that the rail sector should show this to society first and then to young people. And for example, let me give you an example. The rail industry in Spain represents 8% of the PDG, of the industrial PDG in our country. Not many people knows here how important is this impact for employment, for the economy. And so we need to show this, we need to explain this to society at all levels. And then we will be able to make more attractive the sector for young people, I guess.
Right, that's a really interesting perspective. Well, what we can say is that young talents definitely should come to InnoTrans, there they can find out about career options in railway and get in touch with exhibiting companies from all over the world. Our new InnoTrans campus is definitely a must for young talents. Well, Mr. Potter, next year, I heard, you will celebrate an anniversary at InnoTrans. 20 years ago, you came to InnoTrans for the first time, right? How was it back then?
Yes, you're right. It makes me feel a little bit old. But yes, I've been attending InnoTrans, as you said, since 2002. And it has been always great to do it. You know, some weeks ago, I was talking with a good colleague of mine from the Spanish Railway Foundation, and she told me something that I found it great. So we were discussing about, InnoTrans. And she told me, InnoTrans is like, for rail, like for rail people, as Mecca is for Muslims. Once in your lifetime, you must go there. And I say, Then I told her I feel like a privileged one because I've been able to go many times since, well, all times since 2002. And in fact, the idea of creating Mappex was you know, started at InnoTrans that year, 2002.
Wow, that's really great. So the idea of Mappex was born at InnoTrans. We are more than happy to hear that because that is one of our goals, inspiring people and bringing people together. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Fortea. That was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. And I hope you enjoy the conversation. So I hope to see you all in InnoTrans Berlin in September next year.
For sure. We'll be there and hope you will be there too. Stay tuned. Next month, we'll be back with new guests and new stories. Stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you.